Hi there, Hopeless Joy here, wishing you all peace, love, and happiness. Welcome back and thank you for joining me on the Stained Glass Spirituality Fun Fest I call my soul journey. The world is changing. Why don't you? How can I be a better version of me? Well, I'm learning new things every day. How can you be a better version of you? Today's topic of discussion is about a short story called What the Wolf Wants. What the Wolf Wants. Guilt is an integral part of mourning. When we lose someone close to us, there are always things that we regret about our past relationship. In the short story, What the Wolf Wants, by David James Poisant, the narrator describes a surrealistic encounter with a wolf that represents his guilt, grief, and fear over the death of his brother. When the narrator first sees the wolf, it is standing upright and on its hind legs outside of the window of his suburban home. At first, he thinks that the wolf is a hallucination, but then realizes that it's not a product of his imagination. He notes that the longer I stare at the wolf, the more I realize he's no delusion. This one's real. The narrator comments on the lighting and how the wolf's silver coat looks blue under the artificial lights of the suburbs that blot out the moonlight under which a wolf should naturally appear. Although the wolf stands on his hind legs and has no human features, his upright position makes his testicles appear more prominent than they would on a naturally positioned wolf. His balls hang immodestly between his knees. They swing in the breeze like something, like balls. He invites the wolf into his house through a window and into his kitchen, where he offers him coffee. He is fixated on the wolf's testicles and how he'd like to keep them from coming into contact with the mass-produced dining room chair that the wolf now sits upon. He's too intimidated by the wolf to take a towel on the chair, as the look on the wolf's face tells me I'd be best to keep my hands away from his testicles. After pouring coffee into a bowl for the wolf and watching it blow on it to cool it, the narrator reminisces about he and his deceased brother, Michael, were taught to blow on hot soup by their mother for the same reason. He notes that, like other lessons imparted by their mother, blowing on hot liquids doesn't really cool them, and he, his brother, and mother would still burn their mouths while drinking hot soup and pretending that it did not hurt. The harsh realities of life cannot be pushed away so easily. Though people like to pretend that they can, the wolf burns his tongue on the coffee and he howls and he growls. It embodies the reality of pain and death and hurt that are beyond our control. The wolf's growling frightens the narrator and highlights the proximity to pain and death that the wolf's presence, the very presence in his home, signifies. He decides to offer part of himself to the wolf, a sacrifice to satisfy that savage beast. A toe's not the end of the world, I think. I could lose a toe. I bend to unslipper one foot. It is not the toe nor any other part of the narrator that the wolf wants, however. It is the slippers, fur-lined moccasins that were the last gift he received from his dead brother, Michael. The moccasins are both a reminder of his brother's love and a source of a painful and guilty memory for the narrator. I shouldn't have said what I said to my brother that last Christmas. Slippers? What the hell am I supposed to do with slippers? Their mother, who had also received slippers from Michael, praised them while the narrator complained that he bought Michael an expensive espresso maker and felt that the moccasins were not a comparable gift. Now, when the wolf demands that the narrator give him the moccasins, he tries to substitute one of his most expensive appliances as a substitute. The wolf still only wants the moccasins. As the wolf ties them to his paws and they bunch up and they remind the narrator of the tennis balls on the feet of his brother's walker, the image of the balls is reminiscent of the wolf's testicles described at the beginning of the story. While the narrator never explicitly states the cause of Michael's death, it does seem quite apparent that he died slowly of cancer. He describes Michael losing his hair multiple times and having both of his legs amputated. The narrator notes that it has only been a year since his brother's death, and he is still grieving and feeling guilty over disparaging his brother's gift. I was a bad person then. Maybe I still am. It's been a year, but it takes longer than that. I think maybe it takes a while to redeem yourself in the eyes of the dead. When the wolf takes the moccasins, it is both a lifting of some of the guilt the narrator feels and a reinforcement that he no longer has the love of his brother to comfort him. Wow. I found that a extremely interesting story that I wanted to share. Dealing with people with cancer is difficult all the way around it. And I want you to take care of you no matter what, because I love you and you love you. And you are amazing. Now start your day the right way and make your bed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, universe, gods, spirits, angels, guides. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, the wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong, as well as love and hate, to live every day like it may be my last, and enjoying one moment at a time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, until we meet again.